and I'm speaking with...
This is Jeffrey Busser. I'm a composer living in Atlanta.
Okay, so to start this off, why don't you just give a brief introduction about what your music is all about?
It's sort of inspired by, like, a lot of French musette and gypsy music, as well as a lot of film music, and I record a lot of sort of odd instruments, like accordions and toy pianos and glockenspiels and organs and things.
So you play a whole bunch of instruments. How did you get introduced to all of them?
I think it was just through, I was a big Tom Waits fan, and I got into this group called Tin Hat Trio, and later I kind of became friends with Rob Berger a little bit, and he uses a lot of toy instruments, and I thought it was a neat idea, and I wanted to sort of have a try at it, and so it kind of fit with the type of music I was trying to write, like incorporating like the toy instruments and stuff, kind of naive music, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, you're inspired by French music, and when I first listened to your stuff, it reminded me of a lot of European cinema soundtrack music. So I was wondering, if the stuff you wrote were set to a film, what would be happening on screen?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. A lot of times when I'm writing, I sort of have film in mind, like, as opposed to music, because when I first started writing, I was basically trying to imitate music I liked. Like, I tried to have a surf band for a while, and then later, just when I sort of got my own niche, I didn't really think of music so much anymore. I would just, like, more think of a film. And I don't know, I guess it kind of depends on what the music is. But the stuff at the end of the CD, I don't know, it was very inspired by swamps and things, and so it would probably be a really dreary mutant movie about swamps.
Because today there are so many bands available to listen to, what makes your music distinct?
I don't really know how to answer that. I don't know. Like I said, the instrumentation is definitely, I think, something people aren't used to hearing. And I don't know. I like to think I've kind of got my, own style of phrasing and stuff. Like I said, at first when I was playing, I would just basically, like, the melodies and things were like, just different versions of like a Ventures song or something, where it really wasn't my own thing. And just when I got more exposed to different types of music and stuff, I think I kind of found my own voice, and I hope it comes across like that.
Okay, well, one of the instruments that you play is the accordion, and because I'm personally really interested in learning that, I'm wondering, how would someone go about making the accordion look appealing when you're on stage?
I think it sells itself. I think it's really an attractive instrument, and I know it gets a bad rap because of Polka and Weird Al and various other things that have ruined the accordion's good name. I don't know. I think it's an attractive instrument, especially like when ladies play. When we played a tribute concert last night, and there was a girl afterwards that played accordion, and we had two accordions in our set, and I was smiling all night.
I hope that answered it.
Well, I guess I'll just see when I start playing what happens.
Actually, I had an accordion player play at my wedding, and in his liner notes to his CD, he said something about accordion is his favorite instrument because it's the only instrument that breathes. But it's not really true. There's a couple others, but I mean, it's a very organic instrument. I don't know. It looks like it's closer thing to an extension than like a guitar or something, which is just sort of an ugly stick, so. Or an attractive stick, depending on what guitar you're playing, but I think it's an attractive instrument.
I've never heard someone call a guitar an ugly stick before.
Well, some of them, I think there's definitely aesthetically pleasing guitars, but I think, all in all, it doesn't move, it's just an object. The accordion moves around a lot, I guess that's what I meant. I'm sorry, guitars.
Okay, so who or what is your muse?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm probably too self-involved to have a muse. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, like I said, film gives me a lot of ideas, because like I said, when you listen to too much music and you're trying to write, you just end up like writing something that sounds like what you're trying to sound like. Like, a lot of my favorite films don't even have music in them, and like I'll watch a movie, and then just recently I watched a documentary called My Winnipeg, mm-hmm. by a director named Guy Madden. I don't know if you're familiar with, but and like there was a lot of music in it, but I wasn't really like listening to the music. But as soon as I got done watching it, I wrote like three pieces of music sort of based on this idea of, like, he talked about sleepwalking in Winnipeg a lot, and just like how it's a dreamy city, and I've never been to Winnipeg, and it was just the way he describes it in the whole documentary just kind of created this atmosphere that got me very inspired to write some songs. So a lot of times just film and literature sometimes will, you know, I think that's where I get a lot of my ideas and stuff.
In addition to being a solo composer, you've also got a band called The Midwives. How does that play into the music that you write?
Well, for a while, it just was sort of like, you know, I don't mean, like, literally, but it was treated more like a backup band, whereas, like, I came in and wrote all the songs. Actually more of the middle period of the band, but now it's, like, way more of a collaborative effort, and me and Patrick Shelton, who's, like, our banjo player, me and him have been writing a lot of music together. I think I'm making, like, a transfer from a solo career to like being in a band now, I guess. Because starting off, I've recorded by myself since I've played music. Like, I've had bands and things, but pretty much I've always just like recorded by myself. And so now we're trying to, it's a lot different. And in some ways, it's better because it's not just all my ideas. So that's sort of the band.
Which musical artist or act do you think was or is the most overrated?
Like, just right now or of all time?
Of all time.
Maybe Elvis. You know, I like his, like, the mythology behind Elvis. Like, how there's, like, old ladies that, like, wear a lot of jewelry and have shrines to him. But, like, musically, like, I wasn't too impressed by anything except for, like, the first 5 years, maybe, of Elvis's music. Then it was, you know, and he never really wrote songs or anything. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of mean to say, but I guess maybe Elvis. I'm not a big fan of the Beatles either, but I don't think they're the most overrated band. They're fine. I'm just not a huge fan. I'm just thinking of these, like, huge popular bands right now.
Yeah.
We actually had, like, a long conversation. We played out of town, and the whole way back we were talking about what our least favorite music was last night. So I was able to answer that a little quicker.
Okay, why don't you give our listeners two truths and a lie about yourself?
Let's see, I'm a huge fan of cartoons. I pretty much, like, I don't watch television or anything. I watch cartoons almost, like, 90% of the time my television's on. This is the hardest question you've given me. I only eat about three kinds of food. I'm very, like, particular about food. I'm sort of known for. I consider myself, like, somewhat cultured and stuff, but I get made fun of because I'll go to other countries and then I'll find the Outback Steakhouse and the McDonald's, and that's where I'll eat the whole time I'm there. I write a little bit, and I've been a complete failure with my... I've written, like, a series of, like, mystery-type novels with, like, based all around one character, and they're all pretty bad, and I've still never been published with any of that. So there's three things about me.
Okay, so if you were to wake up one morning after a night out with a new tattoo, what would it be?
I don't know. One time this guy was trying to convince me to get a tattoo of a monkey because, like, I liked monkeys a lot.
Uh-huh.
And he kept drawing. It was a tattoo artist, and he kept drawing different ones. Like, he'd draw, like, a rockabilly monkey and, like different. But they were all, like, his own monkey. It didn't look like Curious George or anything. So I'd probably get, like, I like monkeys a lot. I'd probably end up with a really stupid monkey tattoo.
And what's your favorite song to close out a set with?
We do this song called A Narrow Pit. We usually close every show with. Yeah, it's always weird, like, how to work a set out. I don't know. We've decided that's a good ender, and we almost always do that one last, you know, so. Mm-hmm. And it's completely different from the album. I don't know if you've heard my album, but, like, it's just pretty much the chords are the same. We have, like, a whole new version now.
Okay, well, I always close out my interviews with the same three questions, so here they are.
Uh-oh, okay.
Do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
I have one of my own, we call it a type of music night sky rock, and I say it all the time.
What's your drink of choice?
Cherry Coke. I don't drink alcohol at all. I've never had alcohol before. I'm 28, too. Yeah, it's not for any religious or any, you know, reasons other than I just have never started and I've had a pretty good run.
How do you feel about eyeliner?
Eyeliner?
Mm-hmm.
I feel good about it.
Yeah.
You mean for either sex?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Depends, you know, Johnny Depp looks all right in it, right? If it worked. And doesn't Ray Liotta have eyeliner tattooed on him?
I don't know.
I've heard that before. It looks like he does.
Is there anything you'd like to say to your fans listening to close this out?
I don't know. I think we've covered everything. Hello? How's it going?